Blog Talk Radio.
Oftentimes, we are tempted to focus upon what we do not have instead of what we have. Oftentimes, the problem before us claims our attention, and we focus on the problem without focusing upon the one who is our problem solver. Good morning. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich, and let me welcome you to Pneumaticos. I'm going to be reading from the book of Zechariah. The book of Zechariah is a post-exilic document. That is, this document addresses the problems that the people of God face after the 70-year Babylonian captivity. In Zechariah chapter 1, verse 1, it reads, in the eighth month of the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Zechariah, son of Berechiah, son of Iddo. The Lord, verse 2, was very angry with your forefathers. Therefore, tell the people, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Return to me, declares the Lord Almighty, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. Do not be like your forefathers, to whom the earlier prophets, that is, the prophets for the exile, to whom the earlier prophets proclaimed, this is what the Lord Almighty says, turn from your evil ways and your evil practices. Now, it is important that I give you the Hebrew word here for evil. It is the word ray. Or some say law. And this particular word means the breaking up or ruin of all which and those within this periphery or city. And so this is a very powerful word and it is used throughout the Old Testament. And so God says, turn from your evil ways and your evil practices. But they would not listen or pay attention to me, declares the Lord. Where are your forefathers now and the prophets? Do they live forever? But did not my words and my decrees, which I commanded my servants the prophets, overtake your forefathers? Very interesting language. And we see that this language belongs to a culture that is much different from our own. Indeed, the culture that we are speaking about this morning was overthrown because the people of God had left off the worship of God. And they had left off understanding that God, not that God must be put first, but that God must be the primary one, the primary focus of their lives. He indeed was El Shaddai, that is the one, the many-breasted one, the one from whom all of their blessings flow. And so they had left El Shaddai, the one, the all-sufficient, who met every need, and substituted him for that which was unworthy of their attention. Scripture declares, we become what we behold. That has always been true. That is an abiding truth. It is a perennial truth. And so the people of God had come back. That is, now they are 50,000 were returned from the Babylonian exile. And so we're speaking about, or our time period is, it's around 500 BC. And Darius is the ruler of the Medes and the Persians. So the land had been left desolate 70 years. The land where the Sabbath rest that the people were commanded to hold with regard to the land had not been achieved. The land had rest. The land could replenish its mineral content, could be restored so that it could provide, the soil would have the necessary nutrients and vitality it needed to grow food for the people of God. And so the land had its rest, and this was enforced by God. So as we go on, we note that the people had to return and to rebuild. And Haggai 1:6, we learn that they did not have a lot of money. And because the people had left off doing what God had called them to do in returning to the land, there was crop failure. This is also in Haggai 1, verses 10 and 11. There were hostile enemies, and one reads about this in the book of Ezra. And the people would say, we had an easier time in Babylon. And if you remember, when God's people faced adversity in the wilderness, they wanted to return to Egypt. And they said that they had a much easier time in Egypt. Oh, that we could return to Egypt. And so their complaints or their grumbling was rebellion. And the rebellion led to some unfortunate situation. And what happened in the wilderness after they had seen the deliverance of God, how God had overthrown the Pharaoh of the Exodus. There was, who was Ramesses II, Pharaoh of the oppression of Seti I. But they had seen God overthrow the very powerful Egypt and the very powerful nation. They had witnessed his deliverance at the Sea of Reeds. And they crossed the Sea of Reeds on dry ground. And they saw God overthrow, they saw God return the waters and overthrow their enemy. That living witness, that first person encounter with God, there was praise and worship at his deliverance. And one believed, one, that this was real, and that the praise was generated from God's redemptive work, and it was. But what they witnessed at the Sea of Reeds and before, and what they experienced, made no lasting impression upon them. That is, one will understand in their history that what they had experienced with God would make would not be a foundation from which they could trust God for future events, or future undertaking, or how to address adversity, with the understanding that God, when one reads the book of Daniel, one sees that when these men were tossed into the fiery furnace, which of course bespeaks adversity, very violent adversity that was meant to intimidate. Of course, it was meant to kill those who stood in opposition to the idolatry of the king. But it was also a lesson in what would happen to others if they refused to obey. And so after these individuals have been tossed into the fiery furnace, one reads that the king looked in and he said, "Were there not three tossed in, but I see a fourth, one like unto the Son of Man." And so here was God in the midst of that fiery furnace, in the midst of that unparalleled first-person adversity, bringing deliverance, bringing salvation through his presence. He hath said, "I will never leave you, nor forsake you, no never, no never, no never," is the emphasis in the Greek text. God is for us, as Paul writes, "Therefore, who can be against you? For thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are led as sheep to the slaughter." And so Paul writes in Romans 8 that in all these things, we read, we are more than conquerors. Well, in the Greek text, it reads, in all these things, we are super conquerors. Through him, through the instrumentality of Jesus, through the one who loved us, we are super conquerors. We are overcomers, according to 1 John. The word is Nike. We are the super overcoming one. We overcome, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And so I'm going to go on, and I'm going to be reading from Zechariah chapter 4, and verse 1 reads, "Then the angel who talked with me returned and wakened me, as a man is wakened from sleep. He asked me, 'What do you see?' I answered, 'I see a solid gold lampstand with a bowl at the top and seven mice on it, the seven candles to the light. Also, there are two olive trees by it, one on the right of the bowl and the other on its left.' I asked the angel who talked with me, 'What are these, my Lord?' He answered, 'Do you not know what these are?' 'No, my Lord,' I replied. So he said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel.'" Now, this is Zechariah 4:6, "Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit are you, O mighty mountain. Before the Zerubbabel, you will become level ground. Then he will bring out the capstone, shouts of God bless you. God bless you. Chapter 4 bespeaks the completion of the temple through long adversity, through legal challenges, through discouragement. But because of the power of God, the work was completed. Yes, Zechariah ministered to discouraged people attempting to accomplish a difficult task. And let me say, at this point, if you find yourself ready to quit, consider the assurances God is his promise. First of all, God provides power, and this is Zechariah chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, and also verses 11 to 14. And God provides now the oil that we read about in chapter 4, the symbolic of and the whole God can give us the power to finish his work. That is, to overcome the adversity that we face within and without. Oftentimes, it is what we face with the problem that creates the problem. It is our inability to get out of our own, because our hearts can be filled with anger, which in its essence speaks of a demand. Anger is a demand, and is a demand based on selfish desire. There could be bitterness. In the scripture, the word bitterness is picria, and it means poison. Right into the book of Hebrews speaks of a root of bitterness. Notice the language. A root of bitterness springing up and poisoning like a violent. Picria also means pain. And so bitterness is very painful in the heart of it. Because bitterness cuts off life. Bitterness eats away at life. Bitterness creates a hole for recently in bitterness. And it is very tragic because we're unable to and it creates a very affliction of inner. So there is also resentment. Resentment means to curse over and over and over. And so I curse to resent what has been done. It deals with the fact that I have sinned in some way. And one might be tempted to return the injury. Because sin not only injures us, then injures others. And if I have injured someone, the individual tempted to react to that sin. This they made means to send off. It means to release a letter of debt that is possible as that. Now, if I misboil the Bible says that, First John says that the individual hates brother does not have eternal life abiding. In the New Testament, the word for brother is adelphos, and it means those of the same womb. It's a very intimate term. And so, if I hate my brother, then eternal life is not abiding in my heart. The Bible says that God, John 3, God so loved. Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. The Bible says that God is love. The Bible says that we are to love one another. That particular word has no element of emotion, but it does. The object of one's love is the primary, that is, the well-being of another. Love is a church. And so we say that agape means divine sacrificial, that divine self-sacrificial type of love is to govern our behavior for us. And when that love is in my heart and permeates my heart, then I will have a marvelous self. I will understand that I may not always be happy, from the word happy, which means circumstances, but I can have the joy of the Lord as I face adversity or conflict serves to build me up. Now, after reading the book of Job, one might say, I cannot agree with that. But the adversity that Job was to build him up in a marvelous way. Counselors, the four counselors who came to Job, three at first and one comes in later, does not know what God is doing. God had not given them privy. He had not made them privy to what he was doing. And so here they come with their various interpretations, their various schools of naturalistic psychotherapy. And they attempt to get a full root of Job's situation. But the fact they attempt to call liar. Because they say that he refuses to submit to their interpretation. That was a huge mountain of adversity for Job. Please note that in Zechariah 4, that in verse 7, God removes the obstacle. Unbelief makes mountains out of molehills. But faith in God makes mountains to be plain. The leaders faced all kinds of obstacles, but God would open the way for them. Isaiah 14:15, Matthew 17. And so, God is the one upon whom we focus when we face adversity. God gives promises to us when we face adversity. God finishes. appreciates what starts, Philippians 1:6, Hebrews 12:1-2. So we are to trust him, even in the midst of opposition. And please note that the temple project was delayed for many years, but God eventually helped them to finish it. Also note that God rejoices over our work. Now, when the temple was finished to the eye of man, the temple was a small thing, Haggai 2:3. But to the eyes of God, it was a source of great joy. Do your work to please God, and let him be the final judge. 1 Corinthians 4:5. And so, what mountain are you facing today? What event or situation have you confused or scrambling for an answer? It's important that we learn to become centered within ourselves through prayer. And we state what is going on in our hearts to the Lord. And we talk to him at length. We talk to him about what we are facing. We talk to him about our anxiety. We talk to him about our lack of firm answers. We look to him for his guidance and his wisdom. God may be leading us to greater things. And note what God says in his service. I love these words. I love what God says. And let it be, these words be a source of his encouragement. Verse 7. Zechariah 4, what are you, O mighty mountain? What are you? What is it? Before Zerubbabel will insert your name, you will become level. So, say to that situation, what are you, O mighty mountain? Because adversity lifts. But even though adversity may be mighty, we know one who is almighty. Take our adversity to him. We lay with him. We wait his hand. He still is the note that I come. I have not led you to not bring you. I have led you to bring you. My name is Dr. Cyrus. Have a good day.